If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
Darkcast Network. Welcome to the dark side of podcasting.
Abgenommen, bedauert.
Frequency.
And thank you all for tuning in, and welcome back to another episode of Mystery Frequency. Please be sure to check the archives for over 300 episodes of entertainment, and also let me know what you think of the show at mysteryfrequencypodcast@gmail.com, my social media at mysteryfreak, F-R-E-Q on Twitter, Mystery Frequency on Instagram, and I also have links to my website and store. All those can be found in the description. It would be great if you could follow, review, and leave a rating. The higher the rating, the easier it is for people to find this podcast and enjoy these great stories. And speaking of which, please enjoy the show.
The FBI in Peace and War. And now tonight's story, The State versus James O'Dell.
The state intends to prove, gentlemen, that James O'Dell and the other defendants named in this indictment are guilty of a terrible crime against the people of this township. That James O'Dell, using his high political position to enforce obedience to his will, did not only conspire with the other defendants in acts of graft and corruption, but did knowingly and ruthlessly conspire with them to take the lives of 2 innocent men in order to ensure a political victory. Gentlemen, I'm going to ask you now to listen to the testimony of Mr. William Shepard, an agent of the Federal Bureau of Investigation.
And these facts, gentlemen, which have been gathered by agents of our Bureau, have been put down in chronological order so that you may get a clear picture of this conspiracy from its inception. We begin with the date, September 14th, 1948, in the county jail of this township. 2 vagrants, Luke Hudson and Oliver White, were picked up at that time and booked on a charge of robbery.
All right, you two, come on in the sheriff's office. Put on your hats and coats.
What's going to happen to us, mister? Listen, we didn't rob that place, I swear.
Yeah, I know about it. Get your hat and coat.
Listen, mister, we got a right to have a lawyer, haven't we?
You got a right to an attorney. Now get going.
Look, mister, we were on a freight train the night of that robbery. We were 500 miles from here.
Sure, I know all about it. All right, stand over against that wall with those other men.
Mister...
Shut up, too, like I tell you. Hear me?
Look, Mac, you don't have to shove my friend like that.
No, it's all right, Ollie. It's all right.
Put on your hats and coats of both of you.
Yes, sir.
Okay, Sheriff, we're ready.
Okay, Tom.
Stay in that line, all of you men.
All right, Sheriff. Come here.
Yes, Sheriff. I'm coming.
Now, Sarah, I want you to take a good look at these five men.
Yes, sir. I'm looking.
Do you see any of the men who beat up and robbed the bartender at Elmin on the night of...
Yes, Sheriff. And that's one of them there. And that's the other one right there.
It's a lie. Well, we never heard of Elmin. We were 500 miles from there.
Take him back to the cell, Tom. Thank you, Sarah.
No, it's a lie. I tell you, we didn't do it. We were on a freight train 500 miles from here. She's lying. She never saw us in her life. Ollie, tell him we didn't do it.
That was September 14th. Sarah Owsley, town drunkard and peddler of shoelaces, identified Luke Hudson and Ollie White as the men who had committed the robbery at Elmin and had beaten the bartender to death. 6 days later, according to the facts gathered by our agents, this same Sarah Owsley paid a night visit to the offices of James Porter O'Dell, chairman of the county committee.
$75, $85, $95, and $5 is $100. There you are, Sarah, $100.
All for me, Mr. O'Dell?
Uh-huh, all for you. Providing you're a good girl.
Oh, I'll be a good girl, Mr. O'Dell. I promise.
How?
Well, I never was here.
Mm-hmm.
You never gave me this money.
And when these men come up for trial?
All I gotta do is stick to my story. And then I get another 100.
That's right. All right, good night, Sarah. Eddie.
Yeah?
Tell Harry to take Mrs. Owsley home in my car.
Sure. Come on, Sarah.
Good night, Mr. O'Dell.
Yeah? Oh, good night.
Harry.
Yeah?
Take Mrs. Owsley home in the boss's car.
Okay.
Come on, Sarah. Don't drink the whole 100 tonight.
Eddie, what about the newspapers? Did they use the story this afternoon?
Yeah, two columns. Witness identifies slayers.
Mm-hmm.
Jim.
Yeah?
You think this is a smart move?
I wouldn't be doing it if I didn't think it was smart.
I know, but...
Now, look, I've been running this county 20 years. I want to keep on running it.
Okay. I guess you know what you're doing.
You bet I do. All it would take is one more unsolved murder to lose this election. I know the way these schnucks vote.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. They don't care if there's graft in the water department. They don't care how much the other side yells about little gravy and highway bids. But the minute they think the county can't protect their lives and property...
Yeah, maybe you're right.
There's no maybe about it. Three unsolved beatings and a robbery in the last 6 months. Now, if we don't come up with a conviction on this case, we're through. Did you see the sheriff this afternoon?
Uh-huh. He's scared stiff. Says he isn't going to play ball this time.
Oh, he isn't, huh? Well, I'll fix his wagon if he tries anything fancy. Everybody's going to play ball on this job. And we're going to break this case 2 days before election.
Okay, Jim, if that's the way you want it.
That's the way. And you pass the word along, you understand?
Okay, Jim, I'll pass the word along. Everybody plays ball.
And that was the 20th of September, 1948. Sarah Owsley had received a bribe of $100 to identify the vagrants, Luke Hudson and Oliver White. For several weeks following this visit, these men were held in the county jail without bail or legal counsel, allowed to communicate with no one. And our agents, reconstructing the story from evidence we now know, have established that these men were subjected to extreme pressure in order to extract a confession for a crime they did not commit.
All right, shoot. So you see this hose? You're going to get right across your faces unless you act sensible. Now, here's a confession all written out for you. I'm asking for the last time. You're going to sign it?
No. And you can't make me.
Okay, mister. We'll see about that.
now, come on, boys. I'm only trying to help you. If you just sign this...
No. No, we didn't do it, Sheriff. We won't sign anything. Please, let us go. We didn't do anything. Let us go, please.
No. No, we didn't do it. You can't make a sign.
Luke.
No,
Luke.
You can't make it.
Luke.
What's the matter?
You were talking in your sleep.
Oh, I'm sorry. I dreamed they were beating us. I'm sorry.
That's all right. You want a cigarette?
No, thanks. What time is it?
I don't know. 5, maybe. Sun ought to be coming up pretty soon.
Didn't you sleep?
Not much.
Does it still hurt?
A little. Across the top of the back.
I could put some more cold rags
on. No, it's all right.
Why don't you try to get some sleep, Ollie?
I can't sleep. I've been thinking. Around and around, trying every which way.
You'd feel better if you'd sleep, Ollie.
Luke.
Yeah?
Remember when we first met up, we said nobody asks any questions. Remember?
Sure, I remember.
Well, I was just thinking...
I guess you could ask anything now, Ollie.
I could?
Sure.
You got any kinfolk, Luke? Anybody we could write to so as maybe they could help us?
Kinfolk?
I wouldn't ask you,
but I had a sister. She married a guy up in Great Falls, but that was 20 years ago.
You wouldn't remember where...
Well, his name was Kovac or Novak or something like that, but that was 20 years ago.
Oh.
You haven't...
No. Nobody.
Oh.
Old man sent me $5 a couple of years ago. I wrote home to thank him and let him come back saying he was dead.
Well, that's tough.
Yeah.
What are we going to do, Ollie? I can't hold out much longer.
Me either.
They'll make us confess and railroad us to the chair.
They got to give us a lawyer.
Sure, one of their lawyers.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking. Look, it must be later than 5. Sun's going to come up.
Ollie.
Yeah.
You ever go to church?
No, not much.
I used to before I hit the road. It was a great comfort.
That's what they say.
I don't know how much longer I can hold out, Ollie.
Me either. I just don't know.
On the 1st of October, with the election only a month off, James O'Dell's county machine was in a difficult position. The opposition newspaper, headed by its courageous editor, Martin Harley, was asking embarrassing questions about the two men being held in the county jail. It was then that editor Harley took the step which was eventually to bring this bureau into the case.
Mr. Harley, will you come this way, please? The governor will see you now.
Oh, the governor, eh? So he went to see the governor?
Sure. One of our boys in the state building just phoned.
And how long was he there?
An hour, maybe more. And our boy got it right from the inside. Harley's asking the governor for a special investigation.
The governor will never do it. He wouldn't pull a stunt like that just 3 weeks before election.
I wouldn't count on it, Jim. Governor's never liked you.
I deliver the votes, don't I?
Votes aren't everything.
In this racket, they are. If I swing this county, they'll forget all about an investigation.
Yeah, if.
Look, did you talk to the sheriff today?
Yeah. I was going to tell you about that. He's sending in his resignation. He won't play.
He what?
I tell you, Jim, this whole proposition...
You tell me
is...
nothing. We'll do without a sheriff until after the election. You'll handle things down at the county jail yourself.
Me?
Yes, you. And I'll see that you have plenty of deputies to help you. And what's more, you'll get a confession out of those two tramps or you're washed up. You understand?
Me? Now, look, Jim...
You do like I say,
Jim,
Eddie.
Listen, please.
I'm through listening. We'll beat the investigation and we'll pull this ticket through on election day. Now you get those confessions and get them fast.
now back to the FBI in Peace and War and tonight's story, The State versus James Odell.
All right, you two, stand up and face the wall. Take your shirts off.
No, mister, please don't, please.
No.
Ollie, don't let him hit me. I can't stand being hit, Ollie. Don't let him hit me.
And on the 10th of October, Luke Hudson and Oliver White signed an affidavit confessing to the robbery and assault at Elm Inn. A lawyer was assigned to their defense, and the case was scheduled for immediate trial.
Oh, we shouldn't have done it, Ollie. We shouldn't have signed.
I know.
It was my fault. If I'd have held out just a little longer...
Oh, no use going over it, Luke. You only get sick again.
I tried, Ollie. Honest, I tried. I kept biting my mouth so as it wouldn't holler.
Take it easy, Luke. You did your best.
Wasn't good enough. I should have held out.
Here, take a little of this coffee. You'll feel better.
What'll they do to us now, Ollie?
I don't know. Lawyer said that paper we signed isn't any good in court.
No good?
Well, it's no good in court. Every man they pick for the jury will read in the newspaper. We'd be tried before we ever reach the court.
Ollie, they can't do this. They just can't.
I know.
We're good citizens, just like anybody else. We got rights.
I know, Luke.
They can't send two innocent men to the jail,
please,
Ollie.
Don't get worked up. It'll only make you sick again.
Why did it have to be us, Ollie? Why?
No, please.
We always minded our own business. We never hurt anyone. Lots of times on the road, we'd help other guys out. We never stole anything. Why did it have to be us, Ollie? Why?
That was the 10th of October. And a week later, the governor of the state ordered an investigation into the charges brought by Editor Harley against the Odell machine. These charges, including graft, ballot stuffing, and harboring of known criminals, covered a 10-year period. But it was decided at a conference of our agents to attack the machine at its weakest point. And I believe that weak point is the trail of these two men, Hudson and White.
I think you're right, Shep. If we can establish that as a frame-up, we'll have Odell and his crowd right where we want them. But it won't be easy to prove.
I know it won't, Frank, but I think it's our best chance. Are you with me?
Sure, I'm with you, Shep.
Okay, let's try it. We started our investigation immediately. And Agent Bailey, posing as a railroad worker, began to frequent the bar where Sarah Owsley was known to go nightly. Agent Tucker undertook the job of becoming acquainted with Sheriff Henderson, who had resigned the week before. Very soon, Agent Bailey was reporting progress in gathering the confidence of Sarah Owsley.
How about another beer, Sarah? This one's on me.
Don't mind if I do, Frankie boy. But you can't pay this time. It's on me. Old Sarah's paying this round. Hey, Sam, two beers and hustle him
up. Hey, now, wait a minute, Sarah. I don't let any lady treat me.
What's the matter? You high hat or something?
No.
What's the matter? You don't think I got money?
Why, of course I
got money, believe me. 20.
I know,
Sarah. I got 20 money and more coming up. How do you like that?
All right, hey, two beers.
I got money, ain't I, Sam?
Yeah, sure, Sarah. You got everything.
Money, friends. I know people, Frankie boy. Believe me.
Sure you do, Sarah.
Important people. What would you say if I told you I know Mr. Jimmy Odell? Call him Jimmy right to his face. What would you say to that?
I'd say you're a first-class liar, Sarah.
Yeah? Well... Well, maybe I am, Frankie boy. Maybe old Sarah's a first-class liar. But there's lots of things I could tell you, Frankie. Lots of things, if I wanted to talk.
Hello.
Hello, Jim. This is Eddie. I've been trying to get you all morning.
Yeah, what's the trouble, Eddie?
Plenty. Those special investigation boys have picked up Sarah. I got it straight from the inside. She's talking her head off.
What?
We got to do something about this, Jim. Stay there. I'm coming right over.
And you're sure that she talked?
I tell you, I got it right from the inside. We've got to do something quick. Listen, Jim.
All right. Stop babbling and let me think, will you?
If they prove this case, they'll open up every deal we ever pulled.
Oh, shut up, will you?
I'm only saying...
Shut up! Nobody's going to believe an old drunk like Sarah Owsley.
Maybe not. But supposing they find out those two tramps are innocent, and they combine that with Sarah's story...
Yeah, I know.
And what about Sheriff Henderson? If they ever got him to...
Will you shut up and let me think?
All right. But Sarah's talking right now.
Okay, so she's talking. They can never prove we gave her that money. But you're right about those tramps. Combine their story with hers...
That's just what I'm saying.
There's only one way, Eddie.
Huh?
Yeah. It's a chance, but we got to take it.
Yes, Mr. O'Dell.
Harry, get me the county prison. I want to speak to Deputy Jordan.
Right, Mr. O'Dell.
What are you going to do, Jim?
I'm going to play a long shot, Eddie. Break up that combination.
Huh?
I'm going to fix it so they never find out those two tramps are innocent.
Yeah, how?
You'll see.
Hello, Mr. Johnson. Mr. O'Dell calling. Go ahead, Mr. O'Dell.
Hello, George. George, what time are you through work down there?
8 o'clock, Mr. O'Dell.
Okay, you come over here to my office as soon as you're through. It's important.
Yes, sir, Mr. O'Dell. I'll be there. 8 o'clock.
Okay, George. I'll be waiting.
What are you going to do, Jim?
Going to do just what I told you. Going to fix it so they never find out those two tramps are innocent.
And on the same night we were questioning Sarah Owsley, James O'Dell had given orders for a desperate move to counter any further revelation.
Now, you boys got this straight?
Yeah, I got it, George, but I don't like it.
Never mind what you like. This is Mr. O'Dell's order.
Yeah, but shooting two guys down in cold blood.
What's cold blood about it? They're going to escape, ain't they? We're only doing our duties, deputies, ain't we?
Yeah, but we're letting them escape, George.
Now, look, Alec, I'm telling you, this is orders. We'll all be in the spot if this investigation gets any hotter.
All right, George, all right. Let's get it over with.
Yeah. If we're going to do it, let's do it.
Okay. Now, as soon as they make their break, it's 10-1 they head through Phelps Woods and try to make for the railroad siding over at Culverton. That's the way they came into town. That's the only way they'll think of to go out. As soon as they go, you give them a couple of minutes head start and then sound the prison siren. The siren will let the town know what's happening and call extra deputies.
Ollie, not so fast. I can't keep up.
Oh, you're going to waste more. Look, there's the railroad track. Right over there across that ditch.
Yeah, I can't, Ollie. I just can't. Look, I'm sorry. You hurt? No, I don't think so, but I got to rest, Ollie. Listen, You go ahead. Hop the first freight. I'll catch up with you.
Stop talking like that. We'll wait till you're ready.
No, Ollie, go ahead.
We'll wait.
All right. Maybe I can make it if I rest.
Here. Let me see if you're hurt.
No, don't strike a match. I'm all right.
You sure?
Just a little rest, that's all. Ollie.
Yeah?
The siren stopped.
Yeah. So it has.
Maybe they went the other way, huh?
Maybe. Better not take a chance.
Ollie.
Yeah.
Listen to me, will you? If you can run fast, if they start coming...
No, Luke.
Listen, please. If they come, you get away, see? And then you go over to Kentucky and get us a lawyer.
No, it's no use, Luke.
Ollie.
It's no use. Nobody's going to help us. Nobody but ourselves.
But if I can't make it...
You make it. We've been in spots before.
Ollie, don't be so good to me.
Shut up. You rested?
Almost. Just 2 seconds more and I...
What's the matter?
Nothing. Just a couple of seconds more.
Look. You put your arm around my shoulder.
All right, I'll try,
Shh,
but...
quiet.
Listen. I don't hear anything.
Listen.
They're coming, Ollie.
Yeah.
This way, man.
All right. Put your arm over my shoulder.
No, I can't make it, Ollie. I just can't.
Well, you gotta make it. Now, come on.
All right. That's it.
Now, rest your weight on me.
Where are you lying on that?
We'll hit for that ditch and hide in the water till they pass. You ready?
Yeah.
That's it. Now, lean on me.
Charlie, let me stay here. If you go on.
Shut up. You're doing fine.
Now, keep going.
I can't, Ollie.
Keep going. You got to. Show me a few yards more, Luke.
Oh, okay, I'm all right.
Sure you are. We get under those bushes in the water and they'll never spot us.
Ollie, you still got a chance.
Come on. You're doing fine.
Somebody moving over there. Try to light that way, Harry.
All right. I'm going to let go of you here. Just drop down the water. Only a couple of feet.
Okay.
You all right?
Yeah.
Okay. Duck down.
They might have gone in that ditch, man. This way, man.
Stay down, Luke.
I am.
Hold up, man.
Oh, it's no use, Luke.
All right, boys. We give up.
Shine your light down there, Harry.
You hear me? We give up. We give up. We're coming out. Don't you...
Oh, Ollie.
Stop it. We're coming out. Luke. Where are you? Oh, please, don't shoot. My friend is here. Please stop. Stop. Don't shoot. Please.
Okay, men. One of you go back, tell them we found the prisoners.
The testimony offered at the special investigation into the crimes of the Odell machine took several weeks to present to the grand jury. And at its conclusion, Odell and four of his men were indicted and brought to trial. Each was given a life sentence. Sarah Owsley and Sheriff Henderson, for their help to the state, were put on five-year probation. With these sentences, a corrupt political ring was destroyed, and the files were closed on the state versus James Odell. FBI in Peace and War came to you through the facilities of the United States Armed Forces Radio Service, the voice of information and education.
Are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, Go to countrymd.com/energy. And order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's countrymd.com/energy.
The FBI in peace and war. And now tonight's story, the fourth round.
All right, that's enough for now. Eddie.
Come in, Max.
Come here, kid.
Okay, but I'm fresh as a daisy, Max. I could go a couple rounds more easy.
That's enough, Eddie. I just wanted Mr. Rizzo here to see how you look. Get yourself a shower, huh?
Okay, you're the boss. See you, Mr. Rizzo.
Yeah. All right, Tony, we can go in my office.
Sure, the quicker we get down to business, the better I like it.
Sit down, Tony. Sit down. Help yourself to the smoke.
Don't mind.
There's some matches right over there.
Yeah.
So, Tony, how do you like my boy?
He's a pug. He's got two fists, so what?
He's a good boy, that Eddie.
Always a good boy.
Did you notice his left, like I told you, the way he throws it?
Look, Max, I see your boy, I see his left. Now, supposing we cut the double talk, what's your proposition?
Okay. Tony, I got Eddie a match with Kid Cochran next month. You know that.
Go on.
Cochran's a bum. With his bad record, the books will have Eddie a 4-1 cinch. Now, a guy betting $5,000, $10,000 on Cochran could really clean up.
If Cochran come through.
Right.
Okay, so what's the angle?
Oldest angle in the business, Tony.
Yeah?
Sure. My boy Eddie has a bad night. Can't seem to get off right. Fourth round comes up, catches one on the chin. Referee counts him out.
He does a dive.
Sure, he does. You and me clean up a fortune. Is that a proposition?
It's a proposition.
Eddie's a good boy, Tony, but he could never be champ. I've been building him up for a killing like this.
Sounds pretty good. Why cut me in?
Careful, aren't you, Tony?
Why?
Why? Because I have to.
Yeah?
Can't very well place the bet myself, can I? How would it look, a manager betting against his own boy? Who'd take the bet?
Okay. What about the boy?
Oh, Eddie? That's what I'd tell him.
Yeah.
Sure. Besides, he's nuts for that wife of his. And his wife likes pretty things.
She doesn't.
Mm-hmm. She likes pretty things, and she don't like Eddie.
Oh. Who does she like?
Do we have a deal, Tommy?
You sure you can swing this, Max?
I'm sure.
Okay, we got a deal. You keep building Eddie up.
Don't worry, Tony. By the time the fight rolls around, I'll have Eddie looking like a sure thing. Hook the left, Eddie, and hold it close. Hook it. Attaboy, that's it. That's the way.
Nice work, Max. Those odds are climbing steady. Keep building them up.
Okay, Eddie, now you got it, boy. Get yourself a shower.
Good, Max, fine. Just keep it up and we'll be set for the big money.
$285, $295, $300. That all they lent you on the coat, Eddie?
What'd you expect? $1 million for a few measly skins?
Oh, no, honey, of course not. But we gotta get a hold of every dollar we can lay our hands on. How about the ring?
Well, now, Rita, that was your wedding present. Besides...
Okay, forget it.
Besides, it's crazy putting all this dough on Cochran.
Oh, Eddie, honey, how many times
I know,
do I have
I know
to...
it's a sure thing and we can use the dough. I know all that. But I still don't like the idea of taking a dive.
The money we win will be awfully nice, Eddie.
I could kill Cochran.
Eddie.
I know, but...
Come here, honey.
Rita.
Come here. Close to me. That's it.
Baby.
I'm a dope, ain't I?
Yeah?
Yeah, I'm a dope. Wanting my husband to get out of the fight game.
Rita.
Wanting us to take a steak before his brains are mashed up. Before it's too late to quit.
Oh, honey.
Eddie, listen. When this thing pays off, we can get a little business, maybe. Settle down to a good life, you and me, and time for each other.
Rita.
That's why I want you to do this, Eddie. For you and me, together. You see?
Yeah, sure, I see, Rita.
You do what Max tells you, Eddie. He never steered you wrong yet, did he?
No, of course he didn't. Only...
Only what?
Nothing, I guess.
That's right, honey. You do what he tells you. Now, go on. Go to bed. Get some sleep. Remember, Max is supposed to be building you up.
Tillman's Jim.
Hello, Max. Rita.
Oh, hello, Rita. How'd it go?
Just like I said it would. I know how to handle Eddie.
He's convinced?
Completely.
Oh, that's great news, Rita. Where's he now?
Tucked safe in bed, sleeping like a baby.
Meet me? Same place?
Same place, Max. I'm on my way.
To you and me, Rita. And, what your husband don't know won't hurt him.
To you and me, Max, an easy street right around the corner. Hey, Max.
Mm-hmm.
How long am I going to have to put up with him?
You tell me.
After this fight?
That's it, sugar. After this fight, you can walk out on him for good.
You and me then, huh, Max?
You and me, baby. And no more sneaking off to bars.
It can't happen soon enough for me. I'm so fed up with that stupid lunk in his cauliflower ears.
Sure,
I could...
sure, baby. And you stay with it till we hit the jackpot, huh?
All he knows is his hook and his jab and his hook. That's all he knows.
Ah, Rita.
I know, Max. Stay with it. I will. And what about my dough?
Everything's set. Tony placed the bet with Arnie Buckland. 10,000 on a fourth-round knockout. Our share will come to over 50 G's.
50? Oh, Max.
You like that, Rita?
Do I?
Okay. You just keep Eddie in line through the night of the 8th. And like you said, easy streets right around the corner.
And they're asking all along the main stem, what gambler, still on federal parole, has been taking special interest in the workouts of Eddie Fallon over Hillman's Gym? Better look into this, Mr. Boxing Commissioner.
FBI, good morning. Just a moment, I'll connect you.
Good morning, Miss Blaine.
Oh, good morning, Mr. Bailey. FBI, good morning. Identification? One moment, please.
Is Mr. Shepard in his office?
Yes, he's waiting for you.
Okay. Who's in there with him?
Mr. Carlson of the State Boxing Commission.
Maybe I can get myself a free ticket to the fight.
Get two, why don't you?
I'll try.
Hello, Frank. Come on in.
Hello, Shep.
Frank, I want you to meet Mr. Carlson of the Boxing Commission.
I think we've already met, Shep.
Yeah, we certainly have. How are you, Mr. Bailey?
Fine, thanks. Yourself?
Couldn't be better.
Good. This is about Tony Rizzo, isn't it?
That's right, Frank. The commissioner's worried about it.
I thought he might be after reading that item in Dawson's column.
Well, I was telling Mr. Shepard that's all the information I had to go on, just that item in the column.
Uh-huh.
And then I checked with the parole board, and I found that Rizzo was a federal parolee in this state. And that's when I got in touch with the Bureau.
I see.
Oh, I want boxing to be a clean sport in this state, Mr. Bailey. There's no room in it for ex-racketeers.
Of course, you realize, Commissioner, that there's nothing illegal in even an ex-racketeer hanging around a particular fighter.
I know, Mr. Shepard, I know that. But ever since the Tiger Smith incident, well, I've gone overboard in being especially careful.
I understand.
There may be something going on, and there may not. But it would be possible to keep Tony Rizzo's activities under surveillance, wouldn't it?
I think so, within limitations.
Well, that's all the Boxing Commission asks, Mr. Shepard. And the sooner it begins, the better.
Oh, we've begun already, Commissioner.
You what?
Well, just after you called, I checked through Rizzo's record. It's a kind of a record that has the word surveillance written all over it.
Well, thanks, Mr. Shepard. That's the way I like things done.
Well, nothing's been done yet, Commissioner. I guess the first move is up to Tony Rizzo.
Rizzo speaking.
Hello, Rizzo. This is Arnie Bruckman.
Yeah, Arnie.
About that bet I took on Kid Cochran.
Yeah?
I'd like to see you about that bet, Rizzo. Stay at your hotel. I'm coming over.
Well, look, I'm sort of busy, Arnie.
Stay in your room, Rizzo. I'm coming over. I get up, Rizzo. This won't take long.
What's the trouble, Arnie?
You know Sid, Nick, don't you?
Sure he knows us.
Hello, Rizzo. Well, what's the trouble?
Like I told you over the phone, it's about that bet you placed with me. Sit down, boy.
Yeah, sure.
What about the bet, Arnie?
You're, sweating, Rizzo. What's the matter? It's hot in here?
Arnie.
What about the bet, huh? 10 G's on Kid Cochran by a KO on the fourth.
Yeah?
Here's your 10 G's back, Rizzo. Bet's off.
Now, wait a second, Arnie. What is this?
The bet's off. You shouldn't have tried to pull a deal like that on me, Rizzo.
Pull a deal?
With a tank dive?
What are you talking about?
You know what I'm talking about. You didn't think I'd take a bet from a punk like you without checking up on it, did you?
What?
Cost me $200 to check up, Rizzo, but it was worth it. $200 and a bottle of whiskey.
Listen.
Close your yap, Rizzo.
Punk like you, guy bets on Cochran, chums Lady Fallon's manager, needs checking out.
Arnie,
Ed said close your yap.
One of Fallon's handlers talked, Rizzo. He spilled the beans for a couple of C's and the whiskey.
I don't believe it. He couldn't know anything.
He knows that Eddie Fallon's supposed to take a dive in the fourth. He knows that Max Stacy's been building the boy up for a big killing.
Listen, Arnie.
Yo, listen. Eddie Fallon's gone in a ring, an 18-5 favorite. My syndicate's gone deep on Fallon. You know what that means, aren't you?
Arnie, what are you going to do?
I'm not going to do anything, Rizzo. But you're going to tell Max Stacy what I'm telling you. Eddie Fallon don't take that dive in the fourth, you understand? You and Max don't want a different kind of killing. Eddie Fallon don't take any dive at all. Okay, boys, let's go.
Well, isn't that sweet? Isn't that just sweet?
Hold your voice down, will you, Rita?
Eddie fights Cochran level, and what happens to us?
But Rita...
But Rita, don't but Rita me, Max. The easiest money we ever had in our lives, and we're going to lose it.
Lose what? Tony got the money back from Buckman, didn't he?
Your money he got back. What about mine? $5,000 of my own money.
Now, Rita...
My money wasn't placed with Buckman. What about that? I've hocked every single thing I own on this fight.
Will you please hold your voice
down? Oh, shut up. I'm not letting easy money go out of the window, I'll tell you that.
I don't see what you can do about it, Rita.
Well, maybe I can't. But you can do plenty.
Me?
Yeah, you.
What can I do?
You told me it would be you and me after this fight. You can see that it is.
What?
You can go ahead with the fight the way you plan. That's what you can do.
Go ahead? Are you out of your mind?
I want that money, Max.
You know what Tony said? Buckman's a killer.
Let go of me, Max. Take your hands off me.
What do you want me to do? Get blood full of holes?
Take your hands off me. You told me you were a man and I believed you. Hey, how could I have been such a sap?
You better go home, Rita. Go home and sleep this off.
Sure, I'm going. But I think you're making a mistake, Max. I really think you are.
Rita.
Yeah.
Why don't you douse that cigarette and let me get some sleep?
No, not until you give me an answer, Eddie.
Now, stop that, will you? I gave you an answer.
Did you?
Rita.
Eddie, we got too much at stake in this. I'm not letting Max toss it down the drain.
Stop it, Rita. You hear me? Stop talking like that.
It's so simple. All you have to do is take a dive like we planned.
No, Rita.
Listen to me, honey.
No.
Listen. Max made a deal with us, and it's going to stick. We got everything we own on this fight. I'm not going to let you throw it away.
Rita, I can't.
Who says you can't? Our bets aren't with Buckman. We can do what we please.
What about Max and Tony Rizzo?
What about them? They don't have to know a thing until after the fight's over.
And what? You heard what Buckman said?
So I heard what he said. What are we, nursemaids? Max and Tony can take care of themselves.
Rita.
What do we care about Tony or Max? We got a nice, easy living coming to us after this fight. That's all we care about.
No.
Max got us into this. Now he can get us out. You and me together. No more fight games.
Please, Rita.
Oh, come here, honey.
Now, stop it.
Come here. You and me together, honey. You and me, the way we said. And all you have to do is lie down in the fourth.
Oh, Rita.
You'd do it, won't you, honey? You'd do it for me.
Rita.
There's nothing to it, Eddie. It's simple. All you have to do is lie down in the fourth.
Memorandum to Shepard. 48-hour surveillance on Tony Rizzo has turned up several interesting items. Suggest immediate conference with Boxing Commissioner. Bailey.
There you have it, Commissioner. The complete story on Tony Rizzo for the past 2 days, along with accompanying reports on Max Stacy and Arnie Buckman.
Well, I hope it doesn't mean anything, Mr. Shepard. There's never been anything about Stacy's record that should make me suspicious. I hope he isn't mixed up with men like these two.
I hope not. But anyway, as Mr. Bailey's already explained, there's nothing actually illegal about it, even if he is.
On top of that, I've checked with the parole board, Commissioner. So far as it's concerned, Tony Rizzo has been a model citizen. Runs a legitimate sports ticket agency and reports on schedule to his parole board.
Well, a man like Rizzo doesn't hang around bookie joints and fight managers for love of the sport, Mr. Bailey. I still feel he's up to something.
Oh, so do we, but unfortunately that's not enough for us to go on.
Yes, of course.
We're having our own photographer at the ringside, Commissioner. The slow-motion cameras will pick up every detail of the fight.
But in the meantime, there's nothing we can do but wait, huh?
I'm afraid so. Rizzo and Buckman may be up to something and maybe not. But it isn't a crime for them to be seen together. We'll just have to wait until that something comes out in the open.
Okay, this is it. Ring a bell, Sid.
Buckman.
Uh-huh, it's me. Want to see you, Tony. Close the door, boys.
Sure. Yeah. Nick?
Ernie, what are you doing
Take
here?
Take it easy, Tony. I want to drop by and see you. Some reason I shouldn't?
No, but I was just on my way
Tony,
out.
Tony, Arnie says take it easy. Why don't you do that?
Sure, relax. You live longer.
You got a radio here, haven't you, Tony?
A radio? Why?
To catch the fight. You wouldn't want to miss the fight?
Well, I'm not going to miss it. I was just leaving for the stadium.
You'll hear the fight here, Tony.
Eh? Listen, I got seats.
You'll hear it here. Tony, a lot of smart money's been spread over town to Kid Cochran. Did you know about that?
No. Look, I don't know anything about
that. Take it easy, Tony. I don't care what's been spread. I'm sure you did like I told you, Tony.
Of course I did.
Then take it easy. Fallon, don't take a dive in the fourth.
He won't. Don't worry.
I'm not worried, Tony. But if he should take a dive, you're going to be in a tough spot, aren't you? You're going to be in a tough spot, Tony. Now, suppose you turn on our radio. We'll see what Eddie Fallon does in the fourth.
Identification. Here we are back again at the City Stadium ringside, bringing you the sensational fight between Eddie Fallon and Kid Cochran. There's a 10-second warning for the fourth round. Up to now, it's been Eddie Fallon all the way. But at the end of that third round, Cochran was looking a little better. All right, there's the bell. The fourth round and George Petrie. Well, Fallon came out fast at the bell to reach Cochran with a straight left to the head, but the kid seemed to shake it off all right, and both boys are circling each other warily now, looking for that opening. Cochran moves in now. Throws a left jab to Fallon's face. Eddie just prances back, his hands dangling at his side. And Cochran throws a hard right hook that caught Eddie napping. Fallon's keeping those hands too low for a puncher like Cochran. There's another right to the same spot, and Eddie better get those hands up. And that was a beautiful left by the kid that rocked Eddie. I don't know what's the matter with Fallon, unless that first right hurt him more than it seemed to from here. Oh, there's two measures right by Cochran, and he's back Eddie against the ropes. Believe it or not, Eddie's definitely in trouble now. The kid's measuring him. Fallon doesn't seem to be trying at all. Cochran sends a crushing right to the head. A left and a right by Cochran, and Eddie's going down. That's one, two. Eddie's stretched out flat. Four, five, six. He's not going to try. Eight, nine. It's all over. Cochran, get Cochran by a knockout in the fourth round.
Close that transom, Nick. It's a draft.
Sure.
Ollie.
Sid, pull down the shades.
Right.
Ollie, so help me, I didn't know.
I wouldn't say a word if I were you, Tony. You're in a tough enough spot as it is.
Bex told me the dive was off, Ollie, I swear.
Nick.
Yeah?
Hold him.
No. Let go, please.
Stand still, Tony. I pushed your arm off.
Nick, please.
Stand still, he should.
Okay, Ollie.
All right. Tony, my syndicate had over 100,000 on Fallon. Over 100,000, Tony.
Ollie, listen. I know what the fight looked like, but you're wrong. I'm just as surprised as
you. Stop lying, Tony. I don't like it.
I'm not lying. I'm not.
I had an idea you might try a switch on me, but I really didn't think you had the nerve. Said your knife.
Ollie, please. You gotta believe me.
I like a knife, Tony. No noise. Just one quick shove.
No, no, Ollie. It wasn't me. It was Max. Donnie!
You lousy little punk, yeah? You'll never pull a switch on anyone again, you and Max both.
Ollie, no, I have nothing to do with it.
Hold on, Nick.
Yeah.
I told you what would happen, Tony.
No.
I told you.
No, Ollie, I swear to you, Ollie, I...
Hey, what the...
Don't answer. Hold his mouth.
Shut up, you. Ollie, the clerk downstairs knows he's in here.
Yeah, okay. Ask who it is, Tony. You say the wrong thing, that's all you'll ever say.
Remember that, Tony. All right, go ahead.
Who is it?
Me, Tony, Max.
Oh, Max. Well, this'll save us trouble. Other men said.
Right.
You're gonna have company, Tony. I'll show you how to kill two birds with one blade.
Come right in, Max. We...
All right, Max, do what the man says. Go right in.
Hey, now, wait a minute.
I'll take that gun, Sid. Frank.
Inside, Max. You too, Sid.
Ollie.
Hey, what is this?
FBI, Buckman, you're under arrest.
What? I couldn't help it, Ollie. They made me.
Never mind the tears, Max. Let's go, the lot of you.
Go?
We're taking you to headquarters.
Now, shut up, Tony. Don't say a word.
But did you hear that, Ollie? We're going to go. They're taking us to headquarters.
Shut up, I said.
I said. We're under arrest, Ollie. They're taking us out of here.
Well, I wouldn't try that, Nick. Don't you try anything either, Tony.
Me? I wouldn't try anything, gentlemen. This is your round, believe me. I wouldn't try a single thing.
Tony Rizzo willingly provided the evidence that subsequently sent him back to prison and gave life suspensions from the ring to Max Stacy and Eddie Fallon. Arnie Buckman was brought to trial on a charge of assault with intent to kill and was sentenced to a penitentiary term of 5 years. With the individual penalties given and the Fallon-Cochran fight officially declared no contest, the files were closed on a fix that failed in the fourth round. In Peace and War came to you through the facilities of the United States Armed Forces Radio Service, the voice of information and education.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.